People are arguing about what to believe in. But today, if you look around, you'll see people really giving their allegiance, their priority, to something other than God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And how many of you have seen Miracle on 34th Street? It's two versions. Wonderful. Oh, three versions, Celeste tells me. I'm thinking of two. Both, they're wonderful, and it's all about all a fantasy around Christmas and Santa Claus, and it's a wonderful fantasy movie. It's fun. But unfortunately, I'm not talking about fantasy. And people are asking themselves, why should I believe in God? Or do I believe in God? And unfortunately, we've seen, especially in our day and time, that many people believe in a God of their own making. It's not necessarily the God of the Apostles' Creed or the God of Scripture. It's a God of their own making. And God said, you shall have no other gods before me, period. Now, is that, I mean, culture will say, is that really what God said? And then, does that fit your view of God? Well, you know what? What does our view have to do with who God is? Absolutely nothing. I want you to understand that. You can believe whatever you want to believe, and it doesn't change one iota who God is. God simply is God as described by His holy word. This witness is a miraculous witness that has been given to us. It is His holy word. It is the written word. To convince us even more and to provide salvation, which is also recorded in His holy word, He gave us the living word, who is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Period. I don't care. I'm trying to think of the right adjective. I don't care a whit about what you think or what you believe if it is contrary to God's word. If you tell me God is a jackalope somewhere, well, fine for you, but it doesn't change who God is. And you can get up and pound, and you can get up and cry, and you can get up and scream, and you can get up and holler, and give all the emotion to it that you want. It does not change one iota who God is according to the Holy Scriptures. And this is the only truth that you can count on in our world anymore, period. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through Jesus Christ as led by the Holy Spirit. That's how you find who God is. That's how you find Him. You want to learn about Him? You learn about Him right here. And all those other books in the library, all the other books, even in a Christian bookstore, you know what? If they disagree with this, they're chaff. They should just be put in the fire and burned. Okay? This is the authority, period. It is only the Bible's view that matters. Well, you say, Dave, you're pretty dogmatic about that. Don't you want to at least be reasonable? No, I don't want to be reasonable because there is no reasoning on this. This is absolute authoritative truth. And if you want your life to really line up correctly, then you will take the Word of God as it is written and you will make it your biblical truth. I know that sounds redundant, but when people think of the Bible, at least they used to, as is written, so it will be. And that's exactly what it is. The Bible is wholly true, and I don't care what else you have, it's theological heresy. And I want to talk about that a little bit. there was a real popular thing. It's still around today, but now it's got shades and colors that go all different directions, but it was called the Name and Claim It Gospel. And you see these little figures up there, and they've got God in the middle of the square, and they're trying to put this puzzle together. Well, you know, in their thoughts, one is saying, well, ask often enough, if you will, and what I'm trying to display there is, if you ask often enough, using a certain set of rules, then God is going to jump through hoops for you. No, God's sovereign. God is God, okay? We worship Him. God is not a creation of us or our minds or anything that we think. God is God outside of this creation. He created this creation and everything that indwells it. He created us in His image. Be thankful, because we can reason, we can think, we can arrive at the conclusion that God is who He said He is and that He is worthy of our worship. Be grateful for that. It doesn't matter how often you ask in a specific way or anything, it's not going to improve your chances of getting your Christmas list from God. God is not a big Santa Claus up there that has to do certain things based on how you ask. That has nothing to do with it. Well, if I state my prayers just so, no. As I said, it has nothing to do with that. How about this one? If I only think positive thoughts, that's a real popular one. If I just think positive thoughts, and maybe if I never say the word cancer, I won't get it. You know what? Your words have no power. God's words have power to speak things into creation. Now, you can have a mental positive outlook, and I think that's a very good thing. And you can keep yourself pumped up and that type of thing by stating certain things that are positive and they're affirming of truths in your life. But you can't change something that is one way to another way by speaking it. Only God can do that. Well, you know, God's just love, you know. And it really doesn't matter how bad we get, because God's just love, you know. And it's not going to matter, because God's just love. No, God is holy, God is righteous, God is just. God is loving, He is merciful, and most of all, He is holy. God is completely sovereign, and He is holy. So it doesn't matter how much we trick our minds. God loves me. No change needed. No, that's not what the Word of God says. It says, in fact, if you love God, and if you accept Him, then you will become a completely different person. You will change completely and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God teaches. But how can we know that? You don't know that by listening to commentary on television every night. You will not know that unless you go to the Word of God itself. That's why it is a premium. I make it a premium for everyone that I have contact with in my role as pastor, to understand that I believe the Word of God is true, and I believe that everybody should be reading the Word of God, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Now, I will assist in that role, but the most important thing that any of us can do, if we say we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then is to follow up and read the Word of God and find out what the Godhead said. This is an amazing book. It's a miraculous book. You can research it. There's no other book in the world like this, and there never will be. But Christ did say not a jot or tittle of this writing will pass away until it's fulfilled. That's the Word. That's the truth. And I love this one. If I'm good enough, really? How good do you have to be? Billy Graham good? Mother Teresa good? Doesn't make a bit. It doesn't matter one iota. I'll go back to that. How good you are, because you can't be good enough. God gave us the law, and I don't like the way, really, the Christian church has run down the gift of the law. It's extremely important. And if you read the New Testament, you're reading a lot of statements by apostles and other writers that say, follow God's commandments. In this way, you will show that you love God because you are being obedient to what He has taught you. Now, the law, we can't keep it perfectly. That's why we can't be good enough. There's only one human being that ever walked the face of the earth. His name is Jesus Christ, and He kept the law perfectly. And you know what got Him? It got Him death on a cross, because He was the only human being that lived a perfect life perfectly so that He could be the perfect sacrifice, so that He could pay for our sins. Sins mean we missed the mark. We could not keep the law. So in that sense, we are not worthy to be in the presence of God. In fact, He shuns our presence because He cannot have sin in His presence. The only way we can approach God is through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the blood of the one atoning sacrifice that removed our sin forever. If we will accept that gift from God, that's how we have salvation. It has nothing to do with how good we might be. Now, after you have received the Lord, are there good works? Yes, there's good works that He has prepared for you to do since the beginning of time. And hopefully, we will love Him and be obedient and work to fulfill that agenda. But it's not how we get to heaven. Command number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy 5, 8 through 10. And yet, every day we make choices. And we make certain things more superior, or at least we give them precedent in the order in which we're going to do them. And when you make your lists every day, is God at the top of the list? That's an everyday effort. It's an everyday way of looking at things. When you make your list for the day, is God at the top of your list? When I read this command, it says, you shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. The first commandment is, I am God. Period. Who's number one in your life? For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Romans 12, 3. This verse, I can just tell you personally, maybe it's my verse. For me, the one that I think of the most. Because having performed and done some neat things, I love to hear people applaud. I'm a people pleaser. I like to please people. I like to entertain people. But if it ever causes me to think more highly of myself than I ought, take it from me, God. I want to humble myself before God and do His will and do what He is asking me first and foremost in my life. Do I always do that? I wish I could say I did, but absolutely not. I'm a human being. I'm fallible. I am a sinner saved by grace. It's what the non-Christian world doesn't get. They want to call all of us hypocrites. Well, yeah, you're right, because we can't keep the law perfectly. We want to do God's will. We want to live according to the Word of God. But sometimes we mess up. But that just makes me human. It doesn't make me a hypocrite. I still believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We could go through that Psalm of the Creed all over again. Or turn in our hymnal and read the Apostles' Creed. That's what I believe. Of course, I believe much more than that, because if you look at the Bible, it's a little thicker than the Apostles' Creed. Okay? But we need to avail ourselves of God's holy word to understand that. Let's have an accurate view of self before our God. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then as every one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. This is in from the Message, Romans 12:3. Well, what we are in God is explained here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. This is the New American Standard, which is the most literal translation of Scripture that we have in the English language. Let no man deceive himself. I look around today, I watch the news, I watch what's on, being advertised, to read books, etc. There's a lot of men that are deceiving themselves today. We need to understand where truth can be found. Truth can be absolutely found in one place, in the Word of God. As Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, you will be led into truth. For Christ said of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one comes to me except by the Father. Nobody comes to the Father, excuse me, except through me. God is God, no matter who you are, no matter what you think. Period. So, to keep me from becoming proud, Paul writes, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Paul? The amazing Paul? Yeah. Three different times I begged the Lord, take it away. Paul, who healed many, many other people, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-9. My grace is all you need. God to Paul. My grace is all you need. God to David. God to Lyle. God to Connie. God to Celeste. To become all God wanted Paul to be, Paul had to accept the thorn in the flesh plus God's grace and understand that that was enough. Period. Do you understand that? I have a thorn in the flesh. I had, when I was 38, went through clinical depression. I still have medications that I take. It's a real bummer. I don't like it. Slows me down, But you know what? It's my thorn in the flesh. I accept it. Because that plus God's grace is enough. And I don't care what you put in place of that first thing, and it's called the thorn in the flesh. You can put whatever you want in there. But when you add God's grace, guess what? It's enough. If you have faith in God. Absolutely. Lyle's pointing at himself. And he's got that ticker that does all kinds of weird things. But that and God's grace is enough, isn't it, Lyle? Praise God. My grace, nothing else, even when thorns are present, period. Do you accept this? If so, you've accepted that God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, is Lord. You accept that His grace is sufficient, period. Then you have started to understand that He is Lord. He is Lord of all things. He is Lord of the thorn in the flesh. He is the Lord of anything that you're going to encounter. Because He will help you go through whatever it is. And He can actually use it for your betterment. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose, according to His Word. You must understand the Word of God is ultimate truth. And accept it for what it is. And not only accept it for what it is, but actually read it. Actions have consequence. If we do things that are wrong, usually there's a consequence. God can remove the judgment, but it's at His choice, not at ours. And there's nothing we can do. It's God's choice. God cannot be placed in a box. I don't want anybody leaving here thinking that there's something you can do to put God in a box. When you ask God for something, you ask humbly. And if it is in accordance with His will, then He will do it. But He has your best interest at stake. He will not do things that will go against what in His will produce in you the character that He wants to see in you. He will make you become the person He intended you to be if you are willing and humble before Him. And He will use whatever means is appropriate to do that. Does that make sense? That can be a hard pill to swallow sometimes. But if we love God and are called according to His purpose, He'll make it all work out. And it will work out to your benefit. He has plans for you. And they are good.